Good evening and welcome to another episode of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we are your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and prepare for a spine-tingling time. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Boom, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Brady.
And today we're going to be talking about our ghost hunt that we participated in last Wednesday night at the Tipton Haynes Historic Site in Johnson City, Tennessee. But first of all, how are we doing today, Brady?
We're doing good.
So what you been doing today on this wet Saturday?
Mass.
Can you say that in English, please?
Math.
And with a little less anger.
Math.
Okay, if you couldn't understand the language of Brady, he was having to do some math homework today because he didn't get it done last night. So he's kind of grumbling about that. But I said, hey, you know, you can take a break from your math and come down here and we can recount all of the adventures that we had last Wednesday night for the Boo My Dad Says listeners, because I'm sure that you guys are really excited to find out what happened. You can find Boo My Dad Says on social media. Just look for us on Facebook. Just search up Boo My Dad Says, and there is a page there. And we also have a group that you can join and become friends with all the other listeners that are on the group. You can also find us on Instagram and on Twitter at Boo My Dad Says. And if you get the chance, come by and check out our website at www.boomydadsays.com. And there's links to the shows. That way, if you don't have like Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Pandora or all the other many different formats that the show is on, you can listen to the show right there from the website. Before we get into our show, we're going to do a quick word from our sponsors. Well, Brady, what did you think about your very first ghost hunt?
It was good.
So before the ghost hunt, were you a little bit skeptic about ghosts, or so you thought ghosts were real?
I don't know.
Well, how do you feel after the ghost hunt?
100%.
Yeah, if there was any bit of skepticism left in me, and I know on the show I am definitely the enthusiastic one of the two between Becca and myself. If I had any skepticism in me, by the time that night was over, I am definitely 100% in the core of there is definitely spirits out there. So before we get talking about the hunt, I do want to give a little bit of history about the Tipton Haynes Historic Site. The historic site has a very rich story of the history of Northeast Tennessee and of the several families that live there. The site sits on 45 acres and has 11 historic buildings and the Tipton Gifford Simmerly Cemetery. It has a limestone cave that I have just about brained myself on a couple of times on Brady and Matthew's past field trips to the site. I definitely have to say being 6'1" and trying to get down in that cave with a bad back on top of that definitely is a concussion waiting to happen. And I think I did knock myself in the head one time pretty good a few years ago. I think it was on Matthew's trip. But there's also a nature trail and a visitor center. So purchasing the land in 1784, Colonel John Tipton who moved from Shenandoah County, Virginia, to settle in what was then Washington County, North Carolina. And then for the next 4 years, they were trying to get the area to be called the State of Franklin. And Colonel John Tipton, he wasn't into that. He didn't want to secede from North Carolina to form their own state. But for those of you who are not familiar with the area, there are several roads and businesses that still bear the State of Franklin name. There's State of Franklin Parkway, there is State of Franklin Healthcare. And I think it was bought out a few years ago, but there was a State of Franklin Bank. And that was all based on that, trying to get that state formed up here. And they used Franklin in hopes of getting Ben Franklin's attention and getting his support behind that. But from what I remember, they said that he didn't really have much interest in it, so it didn't take off. But there was also a battle that was actually fought
in 10 minutes.
It was a 10-minute battle to beat it all. It was the Battle of State of Franklin, and it was in February of 1788, and it turned the peaceful home of Colonel John Tipton into a battleground for the Franklin independence. And to beat it all, you know, of course, the State of Franklin militia, they lost to the North Carolina militia, and that pretty much quashed the whole State of Franklin idea. But then a few years later, Colonel John Tipton would help with the development of Tennessee becoming the 16th state, and that was in 1796. After Colonel John Tipton's death, his son, John Tipton Jr., inherited the property, and before moving to Washington County, he was already a successful state legislator and a wealthy landowner in Blountville, Tennessee, which is kind of about 20 miles, even if that, northeast of Johnson City. It's kind of sits right between Johnson City and Bristol. But John Tipton Jr., he expanded on his father's cabin in the 1820s, making it a federal-style farmhouse, whatever that really means. I'm not really certain what that means as far as in how architecture is drawn up. And then while attending the 19th General Assembly, he died in Nashville. He died of a stroke. Back then, they called it congestion of the brain. The heirs of John Tipton Jr. then sold the property to David and Rhoda Hayes in 1837, and they gifted the land to his son, Landon Carter Hayes, in 1839 as a wedding present because he married Eleanor Powell. In the 1850s, he expanded the former Tipton home into how it appears today. Haynes is best known for being a Confederate senator, but was also a state legislator, politician, farmer, newspaper editor, Methodist minister, which that was only lasted about 6 months, if I recall from what they were talking about, and an attorney. But he lost his home during the Civil War. Haynes moved to and lived the rest of his life in Memphis, Tennessee. The site would eventually return to the Haynes family when, on May 1st, 1882, Sarah L. Gifford Simmerly purchased the property. And Sarah was the niece of Landon Carter Hayes. So that's just a little bit of the history of the Tipton Haynes side. Did that kind of cover everything that you can kind of remember, Brady? Or
really?
Yeah, no, I just, there's a lot of stuff to go across, but But you did remember that the battle was 10 minutes.
Yes, that was like the most interesting one.
I think remember. There was only, how many casualties did they say?
I don't know.
Three?
Maybe.
I think maybe three casualties.
And a few injuries.
I mean, it's like three deaths and some injuries. But it was a very short battle. So let's talk about our ghost hunt, Brady. Let's see if we can remember. We got there. The SRS Paranormal is a group from up here in East Tennessee, and they were the ones that was hosting the hunt. And those guys, let me tell you, they know their stuff very well, wouldn't you say, Brady?
Yes.
And so we got there around 6:30. That's when things started kicking off, and they kind of went over the equipment a little bit. And see, what was some of the equipment that they had there be?
EVP, EVS, I think, right?
Let's see. Well, let's see. They had the
ghost box.
The K2 meter. They had the ghost box. They had, what was the dowsing rods? The, you know, the rods that you held?
Yes.
Yeah, the dowsing rods. And they had several, you know, just different things. I think they had
there's this like toy dog that will light up if something.
Yeah, they have a couple of really cool gadgets that they use. For those of y'all who are familiar with like ghost adventures and stuff, they have these devices called REM pods. And what these guys discovered, and I think they kind of went and did it themselves, they learned that in some places, especially dealing with spirits that have never seen technology, that they would kind of just not mess with the REM pods. But they discovered that if you put it into something that they actually did understand, then
like a toy dog.
Like a toy dog
or like or a wooden box.
Like a music box, it kind of makes it a little more
understandable
for them, and they'll go over and they'll interact with it. And so that was one of the really cool developments that they had. And you know, they were just a really cool group of people to hang out with. So what was your favorite part that night, Brady? What was which building was the best one, I think, for us?
Well, the one that got the most activity was like the log cabin.
Yeah, the George Haynes cabin. And a little bit about George Haynes was he was actually the half-brother of Lyndon Carter Haynes, but he was a slave. He was half black, half white. And so he was a slave to his half-brother. And we were in the cabin there. And we got some very, very good interaction using dowsing rods.
And the EVP that I had on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Brady had, I kind of have a hard time calling what yours on there is as an EVP. It's more, it actually sounds more like a spirit box to me. But what the app that Brady has on his phone, and I have it on mine too, and, it would sit there and pick up, spirit energy and
try to turn it into words.
And it would turn it into the words, what they're trying to communicate with. And several of the things that the phone spouted out there was definitely relevant to the scenario. So I don't doubt that the app
doesn't work.
I mean, I still think, it's certainly not a professional level app, but I think it does have some use because it did pick up some things that was relevant to the conversation.
And then they also had an EVP going, and like whenever I heard a word, it was soul, and then a few minutes later on their EVP, I heard the same word.
Oh yeah, yeah. But the dowsing sessions, I think, were the most successful. There was a one like a little one room house there, and I thought this was a really cool scenario because one of the other folks that came on this ghost hunt with us turns out that what she was what they called a haunted person. because her grandmother tended to hang around with her and look out for her, from what we were finding out, because we were doing a dowsing session early on in the evening, probably around 7 o'clock.
Like on the first building.
And it was the very first building we went into. And there wasn't a lot of activity there, but we certainly...
there was two things, though. The first one was that, and then, like, they mentioned, like, that desk that they weren't really supposed to move in there because the original owners didn't want it in there.
Right.
And then on my EVP, like, as soon as they'd said that, it said leave, and then one of the persons there had said that every time they brought it up, that's, like, the word they got.
Yeah, and then the room just kind of went flat after that. There was really not a lot of interaction at all. The phone that said leave, didn't it?
Yes, it was.
And the room did. It just kind of, you know, the interaction just went away right after all that.
Yeah.
But I really thought it was neat that little girl, she was, what, 16?
I think so.
Yeah. She was 16, and her grandmother was kind of attached to her. And one of the mediums there, she doesn't particularly go just out and out say she's a medium, but I'm definitely going to give her that title because she had a very good insight about things. And... I thought that was a very good interaction. But yeah, now the cabin that we went to, the George Haynes cabin, my goodness, that was a hot spot that night. We probably did a 20, 25 minute long dowsing session. And I mean, and those, we actually had George Haynes there. And Landon Haynes.
Who actually liked me. He said it was my friend.
Yeah, we asked him if he liked Brady, and he said yes.
Another thing was, like, I'd been to Tipton Haynes before, and we asked if they remembered me, and they'd said yes.
Yeah, the spirits there, they said they remembered Brady, which Brady's a pretty hard character to forget. The biggest experience of that night in that cabin, though, is we were all standing there doing a dowsing session,
and then the front door just opened.
And
it was a heavy wooden door, and there was just a very small breeze.
Yeah, I mean, I had originally thought it might have been a breeze because I felt the breeze when it opened.
But, I had too, and then I was the one who had to close them. Like, well, that could not have been a breeze.
Yeah, that door was extraordinarily heavy.
It opened like twice, like one opened, big one, and then just opened a crack.
Yeah. And during that time, because we were it was originally Landon and George that was in there. And George, when the door opened, something else came in and George left. And that was actually when we encountered that one spirit that didn't really, it kind of latched on to this other girl in the group. And she, and I don't know if it was somebody who certainly had a bit of an issue with race, because, you know, we were talking about, and the girl, they said that she was also half black and half white. And I think when we were asking some questions, that was kind of what came up. That's why he seemed to latch onto her. And that spirit actually followed her around. Followed her to the museum. And then they kind of did, you know, the lady who's, I can't, what was her name? The blonde lady there.
Oh.
Yeah. But she was really cool. I mean, she was actually blind. Because, I mean, she was walking and she had the stick. And she, you know, basically had to tell the ghost, like, no, you're going to leave her alone. And I mean, looks like she's going to go Chuck Norris on that thing. But it was, really, that was a very interesting scenario. Moving on to the museum, we had some interesting interaction there as well. And Brady actually got to use the dowsing rods. I had tried it myself. And lo and behold, I am about
as sensitive as a stone.
Yes, Brady is right. I am as sensitive as a stone when it comes to the dowsing sessions. But now Brady, on the other hand, he actually seems to be quite sensitive, because he held the dowsing rods and we were asking questions and he was getting some interaction. You want to tell me a little bit about that, Brady?
Sure.
We never really discussed, you know, kind of what it felt like and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about the dowsing session that you
last very long. It started out like just a few questions and then I started to burn up and I was starting to sweat. And I mean, usually I'm like the freezer of the family.
That is true. Brady, we kid around that Brady, he's going to have to marry somebody who is warm natured, because if he marries a girl that's as cold natured as he is, he and her will die of hypothermia in July. But yeah, so you started getting really hot.
And started to sweat.
Yeah, and I think it was Matt that was kind of helping you there. And he was like, dude, we're going to stop this because you're looking a little flushed. Because yeah, your cheeks started getting flushed, didn't they?
Yes.
And you kind of wobbled just a little bit there. It took you a little bit off guard, didn't it?
Yes.
You know something that we forgot to talk about when we were at the cabin?
What?
Remember when I thought I got touched on the arm?
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that we were, the cabin was kind of close quarters, but nobody was like close enough to, you know, I knew it was not physical, but we were standing there and I think it was it George that was behind me? Yeah. But he moved and I felt like something brushed my arm, almost like the hair on my arm stood up. And then we actually asked him in the dowsing session. I was like, George, did you touch my right arm as you went by? And the dowsing rods actually crossed over and said, yes. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, moving back to the museum though, that was about it. The interaction with the one girl with the spirit that followed her from the cabin to the museum, that was kind of the biggest thing. And then there was one of the other people that worked with SRS, you know, she really did not like that room. She always felt very weird, she said, anytime she went in that room. So next we moved over to the main house. And what did you feel like we had pretty good interaction there, Brady?
Yeah, I mean, nothing with the dowsing rods really happened, except in the one room.
Like yeah, the one there by the stairs.
Yes.
Yeah, the first room we went to.
Nothing happened.
We didn't really get a lot of interaction.
But that was because there was some pretty major interaction when we weren't there. Like the
yeah, there was a earlier that evening. There was a really big interaction with
that lady who was blind.
Yeah,
like her and my brother who was dead.
Yeah, had been trying to contact her, but he reached out to one of the other folks, and they called her, and she had to leave our group to go over there, but he had, like, a message for her. And they said that, that they felt like in that room, anyways, a lot of the energy got really
used on that one thing.
Yeah, used up. But we did get a little bit of a spirit box communication in there. Then we moved down into a kitchen area.
Basement.
Yeah, in the basement. And we did a spirit box session there. And we did the Estes method there. And
I mean, nothing really happened with the spirit box, though.
Well, we got maybe a few words there, but I think, you know, the REM pod went off. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, like, they said they'd used it a lot, and, like, that was the second time it had ever gone off, right?
I don't quite remember that, but I know when they turned it on, and they'd had it sitting there, and this is one of the ones that they had inside of a music box, and a couple of minutes after it was all, there, it went off. And we did another spirit box session, but we used the Estes method. And for those who don't know what that is to try it, you have a person who is listening to the spirit box, but you have noise-canceling headphones on and a blindfold. And then you say whatever you hear coming through that spirit box.
I didn't really get anything whenever I did it.
Yeah, well, now I did. I got, you know, I picked up some words and stuff.
I mean, I only got radio music.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of you that don't know what a spirit box is it's a device that scans through, it sweeps through like the AM and FM
all the frequencies,
like a high number of frequencies, and it scans through like at a very fast rate, and they say that spirits will try to communicate through that white noise, and occasionally, like, and you can hear, you know, like pieces of words and stuff come through, and a lot of times, you know, and if it's, you know, shows to be kind of relevant to what's going on, then it could be that spirit's trying to talk through that spirit box. And the Estes method is where, like, you plug in headphones to that box and they are noise canceling, blindfold. So the conversation is not tainted by, it's not what the person who is listening, you're not going to be tainted by the questions that's asked. So that somebody else out there is asking questions, and then you're just speaking the things that you hear from the spirit box. Now, I also felt like I had gotten touched again during that session, because I was standing there and I felt something brush by me. I felt like my shirt had gotten moved or brushed by. Now, it could have been a breeze. I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah, it's a ghost that touched me. But it certainly, I felt like something had, I felt something in my on my back when I was doing that. And then there was a couple of the guys, they were standing up near, like, the door.
Near the door. And then they heard voices outside.
Yeah, they thought they were hearing voices and stuff
outside.
Yeah,
like,
they radioed the other group, and they were at
the log cabin.
I thought they were in the museum.
No, they were in the log cabin.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Okay. And they were nowhere nearby, so the voices that they were hearing was not the other group. And they thought they kind of saw a shadow moving. But once we left the kitchen area, we then went up into a parlor area.
There's one thing we forgot about the Estes. It was like when we were in the cabin, one of the other people had done Estes, and I was like, at that time I was using the app, and then the guy who was in it, he said like Brady, my app. He said my name, remember? Like Brady's app.
I thought I said iPhone or something.
He said iPhone, then Brady's app.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
You don't?
But no.
Because then I said, did he say Brady? And then you said, yeah, he said Brady's app.
Oh, wow. And then I guess there was so much going on that I can't remember everything.
Turn off your phone.
Yeah. Let's see. But now moving on, we were in the parlor. And I think that was certainly, that was close towards the end of the...
That was the last thing we done.
Yeah, that was towards the end of the hunt. And definitely, we got a little bit of dowsing, but
and
not...
And then we used the spirit box.
Not much. The spirit box really did pretty well in there.
Yes.
Definitely had some communication answered, you know, answered some questions. And one of the...
A few people saw like a shadow just moving up and down the stairs.
Yeah, and I actually thought I saw shadows moving up and down the stairs. But, you know, and it could have been my eyes playing tricks. I'm not going to sit there and say definitively, but I thought I saw shadows, in which we were discussing that, and they said that that probably was like maybe like a residual thing. But I could have swore I saw... stuff going up and down the stairs. And then at the very end, we went upstairs.
You went into a room and then you nearly passed out.
Yeah, the last room I went into, there was definitely something pretty strong in there because, you know, me being
sensitive,
not very sensitive, though I walked in that room and I mean, I definitely felt like a very heavy sense of something in there. I mean, almost I felt kind of woozy when I walked in that room, and it could have just been.
I mean, when I walked in that room, I was fine before that, like, and I was like not sweating. And then right when I walked in there, I just started sweating.
So I think there was definitely something in there. And then we did a dowsing session up there, me and the one girl who had been followed. And she was very, I think she was turning up being very sensitive because she was handling those dowsing rods like a pro at the end of the night.
I mean, Dad, you'd asked if there was something in that room and it said yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And it did answer and said yes. So that was I'd say, Brady, I thought that was a very fun experience. And I hope to do it again soon.
Oh, and there was just one funny thing, like, and other people had said, like, goodnight to the ghosts. Oh, yeah. The people had said goodnight to the ghosts, and I was like, goodnight.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, you really shouldn't have done that one because it freaked them out downstairs. Yeah, they were like, we heard something saying, the brain's like, yeah, that was me. he was like, sorry, I knew I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, yeah, you don't do that to... ghost investigators or paranormal you don't do that to paranormal investigators because you know they get a little you know excited if you hear voices and stuff
without the EVP thing.
Yeah, so that was definitely our experience at Tipton Haynes, and very looking forward to our next ghost hunt. We don't know when that one's going to be. I'm contemplating, they're having another one this Wednesday night out there, and I'm contemplating going back, but I'll think about it. I don't know. Brady certainly did not sleep very well that night.
I mean, I just kept on sweating, like I was in my bed, and I was just drenched in sweat.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We may hold off on taking you to another ghost hunt for a little while, buddy, but... we'll see.
And I actually videoed most of the thing until it died in the cabin.
Yeah,
we'll try to get that on YouTube, right? Or
yeah,
Facebook.
Facebook, YouTube, one or the other. We definitely have a lot of footage to go through. And I don't know how much time I'm going to have to go through all that footage, to be honest with you. But I will try to upload. I think I'm going to definitely try to upload the dowsing session from the cabin.
And the door.
If we got the door.
I'm pretty sure I got it because I turned around like the door had swung. I heard a creak, turned around, the door opened, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you caught the door on the camera or not. I'm pretty certain I didn't catch the movement on camera because I was focused on Matt doing the dowsing session.
Oh, yeah, and on the EVP, so one of the spirits did not like Matthew.
Oh, yeah,
and then, like, I'd heard on the EVP, Matthew. Remember?
Yeah, I remember it said Matt or some Matthew or something, yeah. And, but yeah, that, whatever it was, I think it was maybe, was it Landon or George that didn't like Matt?
I think it was George, because Landon liked me.
Yeah, but, well, I don't know. Well, anyways, guys, that was our experience, and we look forward to doing something again. We hope you all have a great rest of your weekend, and don't forget to come back Wednesday night for our part three of San Antonio. We are going to be doing the Alamo, and that should end up the San Antonio series, and who knows where we go from there. But until then, guys, have a good rest of your weekend, and God bless. We'll be seeing you later.